Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Oh, Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still You're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as You are near. Please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, Vicky says I can't. I'm going to use the yellow line. You're going to have to turn that.
Memory of
would be turning your Bibles to Acts 18. Acts 18, we'll read verses 1 through 5 again. We're preaching on the call of a missionary, and we covered, thank you, baby, we covered a lot of things this morning concerning the call. We'll finish up tonight, next 10 minutes or so. And if you found that, if you would please stand in honor of God's Word, Acts 18, verses 1 through 5. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born of Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this night, God. I thank you for the ones that come back tonight. I just pray for the many outreach events we've got coming in October and in September as well, God. I just pray you bless them, that you be the foundation of those, that we see many souls saved for our efforts. I pray, Lord, you help me to say nothing in the flesh, but everything in the Spirit tonight. Bind the hands of demonic forces. Plead the blood of Jesus Christ on this church. Build a hedge around us. I pray for those that are sick tonight, Lord, that had to leave, Miss B and Miss Marion, Lord, and also Mr. Hunt and the Hunt family there. I pray for Julia and her father, God. You know the need there. And David and his uncle. Lord, you know all the ones that are hurting today, Miss Betty, Lord, just all those that need your touch, I pray you be with them. Lord, I pray, God, also that you might bless the leadership of the church, bless the people of the church, and help us to stay in your will. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You might be seated. Just to recap this morning, we're talking about the call of a missionary. The call of a missionary. And we said this morning that a missionary needs help to go and support while going. Amen. A missionary can't go on their own. They're our representative. They're our representative in a foreign country. And as a church, we can be a part of sending them and being a part of the Lord's work. Then we said that the missionary must be led by the Spirit. If a missionary is going just to have a good time or to go on a permanent vacation, then they're going for the wrong reason. Amen. They have to have a heart for the country they're going to. The Lord puts that in them, Brother Larry. And if the Lord hasn't put it in them, they need to just stay home. Amen. They have to be led by the Spirit. Then we said the missionary must be ready for rejection. Missionary can't think that it's going to be all roses and all great. He's got to understand, she's got to understand, as they go, as the husband-wife team go over there, they've got to understand that they're going to be rejected. Not everybody's going to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Then we said, fourthly, that they need to expect fruit. If they go without a vision, go without expecting fruit, go without expecting to reach just one person for Jesus Christ, they're missing the boat. Amen. Then we said that the missionary is divinely protected. We covered that a lot this morning, that does not mean they won't be harmed. That doesn't mean they won't be persecuted. But that God puts a hedge of protection on them, His hand of protection on them, and until He's ready for them to die and move on, His hand will be on them, okay? Then we said this morning that they must be ready to teach the Word. They've got to be ready to teach the Word. A missionary that goes into another country and they can't teach the Word and can't properly communicate the Word, they're in trouble. Amen. They've got to know how to do that. And then lastly this morning we said that they must expect opposition. Listen, folks, demonic forces do not want the gospel going into all the world. And especially the regions that Brother Logan goes into and others where they can be beheaded, where they can be killed, where they can be imprisoned. We need to pray for those missionaries on a daily basis. Amen. Now listen, we'll finish this up tonight, but I want to start tonight with they must adapt to new customs. A missionary must adapt to new customs. Look at Acts 18:18. And Paul, after this, tarried there a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren, and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Centuria, for he had a vow. Centuria, he had a vow. So here is Paul, and I want to tell you, Paul said he made himself all things to all people. Amen. Sometimes and many times you have to change your customs. Now we'll talk about this in a minute. That does not mean that Paul's saying you're to go into another country and sin. That's not what he's talking about. But you may have to change your customs. Amen. Your eating will change. Amen. The things that you do in that country will change. It's not like being here back home. Amen. I know Brother Logan speaks about the things that he eats over there. And sometimes he says those people, Brother Larry, we've heard him talk about it many times, Sister Martha, how they will bring their best to Brother Logan. And he talks about how they cook it, Preacher, and you wasn't here for the last time he talked on this, but he talked about how they cook it and they use cow patties to cook with. And they cook underneath there. And they stick it in there, but they're giving him their best. And so he sits down at the table and he eats what we would think was scraps and what we would throw away and wouldn't even think about, wouldn't even want to smell or look at, but he eats it and smiles. Why does he do that? Because he has to get adjusted to their custom. They're never going to listen to him and what he's got to say about Jesus unless he becomes one of them. You see what I'm saying there? They won't do it. 1 Corinthians 9:21 says, "To them that are without the law as without the law, being not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake." Now, I will make it very clear, Paul is not giving you the license to sin in order to win others to Christ. That's not the context here. I got into a deep discussion with somebody this week that was trying to tell me, oh, that's how you win people to Jesus. You know, you go to the pool hall with them and you shoot pool with them and, you know, let them drink their beer and everything. You just be a Christian. You can't do that, folks. I want to tell you something. You go and shoot pool, hang out with the beer, hang out with the drugs, and you're going to be drugged right into it before you know it. Amen. They'll drag you down before you bring them up. Amen. It doesn't work that way. Now listen. Next, a missionary is going to have multiple works. Look at Acts 18, 21 and 22. "But bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. Listen, it's evident in verses 21 and 22 that Paul didn't stay in one area. Listen, a missionary is not going to be confined to one little building and one little place and one little block. A missionary that has a call to a true country is going to have multiple works. I know Brother Otis has multiple works there. He's got different villages he works in. He's got six different VBSs he does. He's not confined to one little place, one little building, and one little area. He goes out into all his area, and that's what a missionary will do, amen? They've got multiple works, not just one, amen? If you study the journeys of Paul, look in the back of your Bible, look at one of those maps, look at where Paul went. I mean, he journeyed, amen? Listen, a missionary doesn't understand one that just sits down in one place, Brother Larry, is not a missionary. A missionary goes, sees people saved, starts works, put people over the works, trains national pastors, amen, trains leadership to take over those works. Because listen, the missionary's not going to be there forever. Right. The missionary's going to die. Something's going to happen. So who's going to take over the work? It's those people that he has invested in and that he has trained, amen? And that's what we want to look for in this missions conference, is what are they going to be doing about dealing with the nationals, amen? What are you going to do on the field to where if you're gone, the work will continue on, amen? Romans 15, 24 says, "Whosoever I take my journey into Spain, I will come to you." Paul journeyed. I believe that a missionary that's called to region will journey from village to village or city to city, attempting to start a work. That's what a missionary does. He starts works in the area. He starts churches, independent, fundamental Baptist churches in the area. That's what our money goes to, amen? 2 Timothy 4:11 says, "Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Listen, I also firmly believe that a missionary that's called to the field is going to be constantly attempting to bring others to the field to help. Constantly. Listen, I know Brother Otis does it. Another missionary's contact me. "Brother Jeff, can you come to the field? Brother Jeff, can you come to the field? Do you got some people who want to come to the field?" Listen, a missionary that's not ashamed of his work or trying to hide something, Brother Larry. Brother Arp, if I'm trying to hide something, I'm not going to invite somebody to my home, am I? Or I'm not going to invite them to my church if we're hiding something. But listen, a missionary that's not hiding anything and truly is working for the Lord, Berlini, he's going to constantly be inviting people, "Come, see my work. Come, be involved in the work." Amen. That's another sign of a true missionary and a missionary's calling. Now listen, a missionary will encourage his converts. Look at Acts 18, 23. "And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples." Listen, a missionary wears many hats. I get so tired and I get so mad. I know of one guy, he's an evangelist and he travels around. I won't mention his name because you may know him. But I know that he calls a lot of missionaries moochinaries. And he is just stereotyped, Brother Otis, to every missionary in Mexico is not right with the Lord. And he's always, when I was talking to him, Brother Larry knows about this, he's always pounding me, "No, you ought not support any missionary to Mexico. They're all moochinaries. There are no good missionaries in Mexico. Everybody wants to go to Mexico. It's just a paradise down there. You ought not send anybody down there." Well, see, folks, that's wrong.
It is wrong.
That's dead wrong, amen? Right. That's dead wrong. Listen, people don't realize what a missionary does, amen? A missionary's job is 24/7.
Right.
They don't know what a missionary goes through, brother. It's a stereotype. I want you to think about it. He's got converts that have lost their homes due to their conversion. They've been kicked out on the street, and he's responsible for them. They've been disowned, amen. Some have lost their families, their wives, their children, their families. Whole families have given up on Brother Larry. I mean, some have lost their income. They've lost their jobs for accepting Jesus Christ, amen. Some live in fear of their lives, amen. I mean, some are living secret lives as Christians. A missionary has to take these people and help them. They become his responsibility. On the field, amen. We need to keep that in mind. 1 Peter 5:10 says, "But the great God of all grace, who hath called us unto His eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while." See, these converts need the missionary to teach them about the grace of God that will help them through their suffering.
Right.
See, these new converts need the grace of God, Brother Larry. We can't just expect them to be saved and then not have the grace of God. The missionary has to show them the grace of God and show that He will help them through the suffering they're enduring for accepting Christ. Amen.
Yep. Right.
In Luke 22:32 it says, "But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." A missionary must help the new convert in his faith and walk with the Lord. He's got to make sure he's strengthened. He's got to help him in his faith, amen. I mean, Brother Logan, his heart's there, and you see him traveling, and you'll see where his heart's at when he comes here if you've never heard him before. But he travels all through Africa, and he travels through the Middle East, and those people are just reaching out to him. "Brother Logan, when are you coming back? Brother Logan, when are you going to teach us? Brother Logan, we need to be taught." And he goes in, and they have safe houses he goes to, preacher, and no windows, and just one door where he goes in and he teaches these Muslim converts. And he has these people come in. He doesn't know if they're spies or what they are, or if they're really wanting to know the Word, but he teaches anyway, Brother Larry. He goes in, sometimes there's people with M16s that have to stand on each side of him while he preaches because they're afraid he's going to get bombed or he's going to get killed. Listen, folks, we got to be praying for these people, amen, and strengthening them. Now listen, I'm going to close with this. A missionary must correct bad doctrine. Look at Acts 18:24. "And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly." See, this man, he meant well. He had been taught this, the baptism of John. There in Acts 2:38, "Be baptized in the name of the Lord for remission of your sins." And that's all they were teaching. You got to be baptized to be saved. Well, see, that was the Jewish baptism. It wasn't for the Gentile. It wasn't for the new converts going into the church age. Amen. That's not how we're saved. Amen. We're not saved by water. And that was the Jewish repentance. And so this man's still saying, you got to be baptized. You got to be baptized to be saved. And they corrected him. They said, no, it's by grace through faith are you saved. So they corrected him on that doctrine. But that's what a missionary has to do. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God." I mean, many of these new converts know Scripture, but they've never been taught how to rightly divide the Word. Amen. The Bible says that we need to rightly divide the Word of truth.
Right.
I mean, people forget something about the Great Commission. Matthew 28:19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost." We talk about leading them to the Lord. We talk about baptizing them, but we don't talk about the important part, too, of teaching. Teaching is part of the Great Commission. Amen. We forget that sometimes. Teaching is a large task. It takes a lot of a missionary's time, a lot of a pastor's time is taught teaching. But now listen, I want you to, Brother Larry, you can come get a song ready. I want you to think about some things about the mission conference. We've talked about the call of a missionary this morning. We finished up tonight, but I want you to think about these things. I mean, first of all, we want Valley View to be a sanctuary for these missionaries. Understand, they've been slapped around, they've been beat, they've been treated bad. They're in town for whatever reason, for deputation, or just on furlough, but they're here, and they've agreed to be with us, to come and take their time to spend with us. We need to be a sanctuary for them. They need to walk in and think, oh, an oasis in the desert. That's the way they need to feel. I mean, we want each missionary to feel loved and refreshed when they leave the church, amen? I mean, whether we like the work or not, we still want to be an encouragement. They may come in here and everybody in this building may say, man, I wouldn't give that missionary a nickel, but we still want them to feel welcome and loved, amen? We need to make them feel welcome and loved. And we need to remember the things we've covered in these two services and have compassion on the missionaries for what they're going through. Have compassion on them.
Yeah.
Listen, folks, as I said this morning, every one of us in this building, we're going to be going home, eating a good meal, laying in our beds, and these missionaries just have a brief period that they're going to be over here and be able to experience what we have. And while they're here, I just want them to know that we love them and we care about them and we want to treat them and their kids with the utmost respect, amen, and make them feel welcome at this missions conference. That's what we're building. We're a sanctuary for these missionaries, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, everyone standing if you're able. You might be here tonight and you say, Brother Jeff, I don't know that I'm saved. Brother Jeff, I don't know if I died tonight, I'd go to heaven. I will tell you that the Lord doesn't want you to be that way. He wants you to know. 1 John tells you can know. The Bible tells you can know. You can know whether you're born again. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance.